Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Thank you so much, Kofi. A very good afternoon to you and welcome to today's edition of Joy Business Masterclass. Masterclass is always powered by Joy Business and is brought to us by Goyle. Goyle, good energy, Goyle, Yenara, Yedia. Masterclass comes your way every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. and runs all through to 2:15 p.m. here on your superstation, Joy 99.7. My name, as always, is Yabanafo, and I'm glad to be your host for today's edition of Masterclass. Last week, we started a rather interesting conversation on intellectual property. And in that intro, we said that words like data, content, copyright, trademark, logo, they always jump out at us in certain conversations of ownership when it comes to content creation. Last week, we started a conversation in the area of creatives. And it's one of those spaces that has become very vibrant in Ghana's economy today. We talk about a lot of young people. I think I can sort of dial back to COVID when people were at home and didn't have much to do under lockdown. And so people got creative in all sorts of ways, including creating a lot of content. And that's when TikTok sort of exploded together with other social media and platforms here in the country. And so there's a lot of content that is being created and its usage. We need a bit of education on its usage, what we can use, what we cannot use, what the legal rights are. When you create content, how do you own it? Literally everyone knows where to register a business in this country, but how many people know where to register your rights on the content that you create? In last week's conversation, these are the thoughts that sort of stayed with me. In the week before last, we said that ideas are your property and you must take steps to protect them. But in last week's conversation, we also learned that when it comes to creatives and any other form of intellectual property, number one, you must register them so that you have legal right over the creation or the property that you've created. It's important to have legal rights. And number two, you must also register them so that you can benefit from them legally, and also benefit from them commercially as well. You must also register them to prevent others from using your property without recourse to you. And you must also prevent others from abusing your property once you've created it. Back here in the conversation with us is another very fine brain, Sarah Noko Anku, a renowned Ghanaian. And for those of us who missed the intro last week, I'll just quickly scroll through her introduction again. Sarah is a prominent intellectual property attorney with an extensive experience in the field. She's a managing partner at SN Anku IP firm, which spans Ghana and Nigeria, the Gambia and the USA. She's a senior partner at Anku at Law in Ghana and Nigeria. And she has a diverse educational background, including an LLM in alternative dispute resolution from the University of Ghana and a Master's in Intellectual Property from the Africa University in Zimbabwe. Her expertise, I beg your pardon, spans copyright, patent, trademark, and industrial design law, due diligence, commercialization of IP, and the enforcement of IPRs. She's a distinguished lecturer of an MPhil Intellectual Property Program at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology here. CV goes on and on and on. And I always say it's one of those CVs that when I grew up, I want to be like her. I'm back here with me to continue the conversation today on IP is Sarah Noko Anku. Mrs. Sarah, we're excited to have you.
Thank you very much.
I think this is one of those areas where there isn't much information about.
Yes, I
find that having done this show for a while, the feedback I get from a lot of my listeners is that whenever we talk about areas where there isn't, I won't say there's not much education, but I think there isn't much saturation, because it is not for want of effort. No,
exactly.
It is that there isn't much saturation. People just sort of shy away from it.
Absolutely.
And I think that intellectual property is one of those areas where,
exactly,
you know, so I'm excited we're having this conversation. Hopefully we have you again next week. But if we're not able to, we'll take all that you've given us. You've obliged us a couple of slides. So for those who want to make some notes, by all means, go to our Facebook RX page or our YouTube page and make those notes. At some point in the show, we'll get interactive, and then it can also be a part of that conversation. But otherwise, let's take a listen to everything else that Sarah has to share with us. We continue with the creative industry conversation on IP. I think that will interest a lot of you who are listening today. And then we sort of move into the area of
software coding,
software and coding.
And IP.
Yes, and I think some of my corporates will also be interested in that conversation. You're a GM, you're a CEO, you're listening, you have no idea. When the IT boys bring their budget, you don't understand it. All you keep saying is it's a big budget. Here's a conversation to help you understand it better. So Sarah,
yes,
you're welcome to the conversation.
Thank you very much. Last week, we went through the creatives, what can be registered, how to protect them, the steps they had to take. And today, we are going to continue with global trends. I'll start with social media and intellectual property. So with social media comes new ways of infringement of intellectual property. Typical examples are what we all do most of the time, uploading videos and music that belongs to others. Some tend to monetize these videos and music, these creative works. Some tend to use sounds that belong to sound recordings that belong to others. You remember when we talked about the rights that govern creatives? Mm-hmm. We mentioned the copyright, and some of the works eligible for copyright include sound recording, audio visuals, as the videos and the films, the music. So when you upload these music, especially for commercial purposes, to, you know, advertise yourself out there, you should know that you are infringing on somebody else's rights. We also tend to upload other people's pictures that he had taken. Recently, my son called me and says, "Mom, my picture is being used by somebody for adverts." I said, "Do the person know who you are?
Do they know who your mother is?"
So, you see, he actually took a picture that somebody liked, and the person was using it for his hair advertisement for a particular product without recourse to him.
But let me just chip this one here, though. Is it only when it's used for commercial purposes, or it's when it's used without your express permission?
It is when it's used without your express permission.
Right.
But usually we talk about the commercial aspect, because when it's used and the usage falls within the exemptions, those aspects that you can use and actually get away with it,
right,
then you'll be safe. But where you use it beyond the accepted, you know, types of usage, then you'll find yourself on the other side of the law. Because if you're using it and you say it's fair use, yes, that can work. Some may say educational purposes. There are examples of them that have been decided by the courts, even here in Ghana.
In Ghana, right.
So in using it, you have to be mindful that you don't cross the line, so it doesn't end up being an infringement of the person's right. Just always have in mind that these created works belong to somebody.
Mm.
Copyright, I mentioned, you don't need to really register to have the right. It's automatic right. So when you see the content out there and you feel it's free, I have to use it, you should bear in mind that somebody does have copyright over the work that you are trying to use.
Especially music. Because we're talking about creatives.
Creatives, music, audio visuals, the movies that we watch, we download anyhow, books, all that.
We just download them.
Artwork. We use it for our own advertisements and what have you.
Yeah.
We just go online and then we download photographs and then we use it. I don't know whether I mentioned it last week, but I had a client who actually downloaded he downloaded a photograph of shea butter, a child carrying shea butter. And from outside, they came at him. Routers came after him saying that he had infringed on their rights. He had to pay.
Because they owned that photograph?
Yes. They had to pay for that.
Imagine the money that would be made.
Exactly.
For intellectual property for people who are taking photographs.
Exactly.
And they have no idea.
Exactly.
Because you could sell some of these images to students.
Exactly.
That's where stock images come from online, isn't it?
Exactly.
For those who design, there's a place you go to and you pick stock images.
Exactly. But some of the stock images, there are a few issues coming up even in the courts where some images find their way in this commercial image banks that the people claim they did not post their images over there. So that could be, I'm yet to see how the courts are going to determine some of these cases.
Right.
But All I'm saying is that just be mindful of what you pick from the internet.
But someone is asking in the, they're listening and they're saying, listen, I saw this photograph of, let's use a very popular photograph categorization in Ghana, a pretty African Ghanaian young woman wearing kente holding a calabash.
Mm-hmm.
We see that everywhere, mm-hmm. isn't it? Now the question is, when I find something like that and I want to use it for my media of all an expression, number one, where am I going to find this person? If I can't find them, what can I do to make sure that it's like when you scratch somebody's car and they're not there, you leave a note and say, I'm sorry I backed into your car. This is my name, this is my number, please call me. How do you do that when you're using somebody's document and you can't find them anywhere?
That is a risky one. I cannot advise on that.
Yeah.
It's a business decision. Just bear in mind that this photograph that you're going to use is somebody else's copyrighted.
So you're
going to
have this conversation
with.
One day. I'm just saying that whoever uses it should remember that they are going
yes,
to have this conversation.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Those images that we just pick online and use, we should know that it is possible someone will come back to demand something from us sometime. So just make sure that you have a clean house, you do your work well, you obtain the right consents, licenses before you use these works, especially for commercial purposes, especially the advertising agencies. Do not just pick somebody's work and use it for your client. You just create problems for your client.
Right.
Absolutely. So sharing of works and works of arts and so on and so for free is also an issue that comes up every now and then. Now, there are other trends, other areas that come up with this IP stuff. Ownership. In some jurisdictions, they actually see IP ownership as an asset that may become a spousal property during divorce. So that's how ownership, I mean, that is...
It's serious.
It's been taken as even a tangible asset, because when you have tangible assets as between spouses, in the time of divorce, you will be asked to, you know, there'll be some decisions regarding the sharing of those assets. And similarly, some jurisdictions are treating intellectual property as that kind of ownership.
Wow.
We have a case called Alala Kola versus Palmer. It's a New Zealand case. And it was held that the couple can, that the, it's a painting actually, the rights in the painting can be shared as spousal property during a divorce proceeding.
But by law, I mean, this would be right, because like you're saying, it becomes something you generated out of your intellect.
Yes.
And it has the capacity to generate benefit and income. And so it would make sense to say that if it has a right, if it has economic value,
it should be a spousal property.
It should be a subject of conversation.
That's
it looks very far-fetched, though, for
it is,
a society
it is.
Like
I actually, when I came across that particular case, I was really surprised. I said, wow, intellectual property being spousal property. Well,
it's an interesting conversation. I know that it'll be a while before,
as
a country and as a society, as a people, we finally get on that
exactly.
But because of globalization and modernization,
it is
possible. Once they're talking about it, once Uncle at law is here in Ghana as an IP attorney, at some point, someone is going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, you remember that painting I did? That painting.
We did it in the course of our marriage, so I have rights in it.
I want to go have a certain conversation with Sarah and say, you know, is there anything I can do about this? You know?
I hope it doesn't get to that.
Wow.
Yes.
But it's interesting to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose that the point here is that we need to have an awakening.
Yeah.
Regarding our intellectual property, we have for too long treated our intellectual property as intangible, as almost non-existent, as only aesthetic.
That's the problem. Intangible assets are still assets. See, that's the because we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't touch it, we overlook it, but they are assets. And the jurisdictions that have recognized them are making millions out of these intangible. But it looks like we are still focusing on only our tangible. Where you are taught in secondary school, your land, your cars, your human resource, those are your assets. But then we don't look at
your bank balances.
Yes, you look at the bank balances, the cash, the liquidity and all that, but we don't look at the intellectual property that we have. The solution that you have come up with that is helping your business do better than your competitors, that is intellectual property of value to you.
I'm going to say this here on this program on air, and it's going to generate some traction for you because, of course, we're grateful that you came through. But you know that very uncomfortable conversation where a man or a woman sits down and says, I'm going to put together a will for my family in the event that I'm no longer alive.
Exactly.
And then you're counting your assets, and you do not count your intellectual property. So if you're listening to Masterclass now and you know someone who's about to have that conversation, or you're a lawyer, you're advising someone, you could suggest to them that have a chat with, you're the only IP company I know in Ghana, so I'm just going to say, have a chat with Sarah and the team and say, listen, give me 30 minutes of your time. Let me tell you everything that I have done in my life and tell me whether there's something in there that could be an asset that I could sort of put away as part of my inheritance for my family when I'm no longer alive.
Absolutely.
And you'll be surprised to find that there may be one or two or three things in there.
Exactly.
Some photograph somewhere, something from some, I don't know what the definition will be, but there could be something in there that could be beneficial as an addition to your inheritance.
Especially with the copyrighted works. Because with copyright, as an individual, you enjoy the rights throughout your life. And when you are dead and gone for 70 years after your death, so your estate is supposed to benefit throughout for the 70 years. When I used to work with the Registrar General's Department, and I remember there was a case, an estate case, that one of these artists, and there was a lot that was coming in from the assets, the musical works of that particular asset for the estate. For their estate. So,
and because they knew what to do.
Of course.
They were realizing this.
The administrator knew what it was. Mm-hmm. Because the administrator is still the registrar of trademarks, the registrar of industrial properties. So she knows.
You know, I'm looking at you and I'm smiling because somehow I'm hearing two phrases in my mind that let sleeping dogs lie. Let's start from here. But I'm also looking at those who have been abused for too long and I'm saying, if you have intellectual property and for a very long time you feel that someone has infringed, have a conversation with Sarah and the team. Have a conversation. You never know.
Yes, you could. You could even settle with that person. We don't actually promote litigation, but you could settle.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
An agreement with that person. Yeah. The fact that we don't promote litigation doesn't mean that your rights must be abused.
Exactly.
There are ways to resolve some of these things. If your rights are being abused, you can have this conversation with those who are abusing your rights, and you would see it goes a long way. You could settle with, you can come to some form of an agreement with those. Yes.
You could walk away with some Benjamins.
Exactly.
Let's continue.
Yes. So other trending matters, if you look at, we talked about trademarks earlier on. There are trademarks such as sound trademarks. You find the USPTO has registered quite a number of these sound trademarks. Mm-hmm. There's 20th Century Fox Entertainment motion picture films. Their drums and trumpets are registered as trademarks.
You know, as you're talking, I'm remembering some of the sick tunes.
Exactly. Exactly. They have registered them. Their cat's meow. They have the AT&T long distance telecommunication, the Chime plus the AT&T. Then you have MGM Entertainment, the Roaring Lion, and all that. So these are.
So all those are IPs.
Yes.
And why not, really?
Yes, they are. And they have been registered, and we can also register our sound. You
know, I'm going back to music. Right. I mean, if there's anyone listening from GAMRU or from the Music Association, I'd like for them to give us a call when we get interactive. I think we need to sort of create a bit more. I know they've done a great job so far. I mean, GAMRU is putting stuff together, reaching out, trying to get some of the musicians helped and all of that. But we need to continue some more.
Exactly.
Because people have intellectual property. My mind is going to a lot of things that, you know, are floating around. Things that go viral.
Yes.
Things that become the order of the day in certain times of the year. All that is some form of IP, isn't it?
Someone, so long as somebody created it and the person expressed it in a medium, the person has rights over that.
And we're reusing a lot of these things.
Yes.
I wanted to give some examples, but I'm being careful about it. But I mean, yes, phrases... Yes. Intonations
yes.
that make all of us laugh.
Yes.
Said by a particular somebody somewhere. And everyone is using it.
Mm.
That's okay.
If it's the person's rights and we are using it not within the exceptions, then we could be in trouble.
But there needs to be some more education about
yes.
it.
So the rights holders themselves, they don't know the rights. They don't know they own certain
Indeed.
Rights to the works that they create.
Indeed.
That's the challenge.
Let's continue before I get myself into trouble.
So if you have a sound mark, then you should make sure that the mark qualifies for trademark registration, as in it must be able to distinguish whatever your goods or your services are from those of other enterprises.
Mm.
Because in some cases, the courts will not allow certain marks to be registered. There's this case of ADA Metal Beverage Holdings and EU IPO. Which rejected a registration of a sound mark because the sound mark of the opening of a drink, that sound, yes, they rejected it because they thought it was not distinguishing the products from the goods from other enterprises.
But every beverage that is carbonated when you open it.
Exactly. So that's why it failed.
Let me go back to this, my Anansi story. You know, I asked you about this the last week.
Yeah.
Well, but I think that we want to take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back, we get interactive. But when we come back, the first question I want to ask you is this conversation on why we haven't as a country been able to register Kwikwu Anansi as something that belongs to Ghana. And I understand on the back of it is because the conversation on the international scene was that we cannot lay claim as a country to the spider alone. I mean, you let's leave it there, but let's take a quick message. When we come back, we get interactive.
Your favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session. And you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy997FM or at JoyBusinessGH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-111997 and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're interactive right now. Numbers to call 0302-216-541. That's 0302-216-541. You can also send us your comments on 0551111997. If you're listening, you know anyone from GAMRU, please tell them to tune into Joy Business Masterclass on Joy 99.7. We'll have a conversation with them regarding copyrights, IP, and all of that so that we can educate ourselves and become better people, well-educated on the issues of IP. Numbers to call again, 0302-216-541. You can send us your comments on 0551111997. Just a reminder that today's edition of Masterclass is brought to us by Goyle. Goyle, good energy, Goyle. Yenara, Yedia. If you have a motor vehicle of any kind, then Goyle has some great news for you. Good energy brings you Goyle Super XP, the ideal choice for most vehicles. It is flowing wah-wah at many Goyle stations in the country. So just go fuel up your vehicle and enjoy a smooth ride with all the benefits. Gull Super XP is quality and gives you the correct choice when buying regular fuel. Gull Super XP is fortified with a special additive that gives longevity to your engine and makes your engine perform to the max using minimal fuel, and is also suitable for most vehicles. Gull, they say good energy. Gull, Yenara, Yedia. Phone lines are open. Numbers to call 0302-216-541 or send us your comments on 055-11-11997. We're here in the studio with Sarah Noko Anku, who's a global managing attorney, specialist in IP at Anku and Law. So we're having a conversation on IP. What's this thing with Anansi while we're waiting for the phone lines to ring? Do we have any? And this was about 3 years ago, in fairness to you. I had this conversation with some friends of mine at the Ghana Tourism Authority. Have we been able to register it yet?
I don't know what type of registration you are referring to. Because okay. In Ghana,
ownership
we have...
of the Kukwanansi...
registration where?
I suppose that there was an international body, so we're supposed to make this a registration international so we could own it as our IP, as a country. If there's anyone from Ghana Tourism Authority who's listening, maybe there's been progress. Help us, educate us.
No, so the Kukwanansi as we have it falls under folklore.
Folklore, okay.
And folklore is already protected.
Right.
It belongs to us. So probably you are talking about enforcement of those rights in probably other jurisdictions.
Mm.
If that is the case, then as I mentioned earlier on, the IP rights must be recognized within a particular jurisdiction.
Right.
It's statutory in nature, it's territorial in nature. Mm. So probably having recognized and protected Anansi in Ghana as a folklore may not be recognized in other jurisdictions. And
I think that's why the conversation was.
And that is what... but for now, there is the... WIPO, there's a legislative instrument that has been adopted now by WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization,
right,
that recognizes traditional knowledge and traditional cultural expressions.
Mm.
That's the other name for folklore. So with that, I don't know how far they have gone with the text. I think they have actually adopted it now.
Mm.
So I don't know how it's going to be implemented by the member states of the World Intellectual Property Organization.
Mm.
But if we have recognized ours as folklore, then it falls under the traditional cultural expressions that must be recognized by other jurisdictions as well. So
it's not
as if we have... we don't have any protection for our Anansi. We do. Anansi as a symbol of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Anansi, it's just folkloric, and we have protected it in Ghana. It's part of our Copyright Act of Ghana. Folklore is protected under the laws of Ghana.
And I think from what you just said, it's possible that based on the work that WIPO is doing, again, traditional cultural expressions, I think
yes,
that's what you said,
yes,
are also covered.
Yes, under that particular recently adopted legal document, legislative document that has been adopted by the countries, it should be covered under it. But as to the procedure that has to be taken for each member state to recognize the other state's folklore or traditional cultural expression is something I'm yet to really
I think it's reassuring to hear.
Yeah.
It's reassuring to hear because I think that it's part of a people's orientation. A people's orientation is key to their existence. I mean, I think we can have that conversation.
It's not a very straightforward subject matter because unlike the regular or the traditional intellectual property rights that we have, there are limits to protection. But we are saying that with folklore and traditional cultural expressions, there shouldn't be any timelines for the protection. It should be in perpetuity. So it makes it a bit tricky area.
Mm.
It's not too clear cut. So that's why I'm yet to find out. I mentioned that I'm yet to find out how this is going to act, how it's going to apply to us in real life.
Right.
I'm yet to find out.
Phone lines are still open, and I'd really like to hear from you. Pick up that phone, give us a call. This is Masterclass. We're talking about intellectual property with Sarah Noko Anku. Numbers to call: 0302-216-541, or you can send us your comments on WhatsApp on 055 1111997. I'd really like to read your messages as well so that we can all contribute to this conversation and become better for it. So while we're waiting for those phone lines to ring and for those messages to come through, I think there are a couple of selected cases, case studies, which you probably want to take us through.
Yes, I will take you through that. I just wanted to mention briefly the issue of AI and copyright.
Yes, indeed.
It's also a trending issue because the definition of intellectual property is a creation of a human mind. Mm. So where you find a computer or an AI coming up with something, who owns it? The question becomes, who owns it? So
I haven't answered the question. Which is the question? I mean, who wrote the prompt, the command prompt?
Yeah, these are the arguments. Those are the arguments that others have,
raised.
But in most jurisdictions, it's not from the human. Yes, and I'm waiting to see how Ghana is going to handle it. Our laws have not been updated to take cognizance of this AI and other technology developments that are going on. And then also one very important thing where AI is concerned, the use of open source by creatives. When we believe that when you use the open source is free for use without recourse to the license that governs it. Mm-hmm. Remember, these works that you find in open source belong to certain people who have copyrights over them. They have elected to diffuse their work in a particular manner by probably asking you to use it, to modify it, without maybe for free or maybe for a token, but it still belongs to them and they have licenses to it. So if you are using it without recourse to the license, they may come back to you. There's this case of GitHub case, I think it's a US case, on Copilot, and the creators of certain works that had found their way in Copilot came together to sue GitHub to say that GitHub and I think Microsoft did not follow the license provisions in the use of those materials, and they won in that particular case. So yes, you have to be mindful of the license that governs even open source materials that you use.
On the open source conversation, I think we've got a couple more minutes, but could you just touch briefly on the I think you talked about softwares and about just a quick couple of statements.
Yes. So with software, just like any, as I mentioned, software falls under copyright, and in Ghana, but there could be some other IPRs that you can use to protect your.
What's an IPR? Software.
Intellectual property rights.
Right. Okay.
Yes, that you can use to protect your IP, but the copyright you can use it for the software, the code, the patents. You can use for the novel software related inventions. You can even use trade secrets to protect your algorithms, your source codes, and then of course you can use the trademarks to protect your names, the app names and the logos, and other forms of brand identifiers. So
let me ask this question though, and I mean it may sound a little controversial, but because trust is eroding quickly in society, people hold on to their recipes,
yes,
their source codes,
yes,
the thing that brings everything alive, they hold on to it.
Exactly.
But you just educated us that copyrights and patents are jurisdictional.
Yes.
So once you protect them in the traditional jurisdiction area, you must go ahead outside to try and... You could go ahead to do it outside as well. My question, and I've always had this apprehension about, let's say, going to the cloud and putting stuff on the cloud, because the cloud sits in somebody else's country. It is without prejudice to a mistrust of the system, but if I gave my source code to an institution because I wanted to protect it from abuse, how do I know it won't end up as data in some other place, as we see happen across the world?
Yeah, so fortunately, software falls under copyright. Your source codes are protected under copyright, and copyright is automatic protection.
Remember, my point of making is I have to give them a copy of my source code to protect it in the first place. They need to see it. They need to have it to protect it.
If they have it, then you have, if it is expressed in a medium, then you have protection for it. But to enforce that particular software, then you need to register it. In most jurisdictions, you need to register in order to enforce.
Okay, otherwise, so the question I'm asking, I think I'm not asking clearly. They give you protection as a state from other uses.
Exactly.
How do you get protection from the state where there could be leakages and abuse?
So protection from the state, ideally you have to register it so that when somebody uses it or there's a leakage or there's an abuse, a piracy, it occurs all the time. When that happens, you now have this evidence, this certificate that shows that you own this particular software, and then you use that as a basis to take certain legal steps against the infringer. But if you don't have the owner, if you don't have that registration, then you now have to prove that indeed the software belongs to you.
But how about a situation when this one is not?
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.